Welcome to Triple M Breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is the Coast Zone 107.7 Triple M.
G'day, this is Paddy and Rob Palmer. It's our podcast for Wednesday, the 12th of May, the day after the budget, and everyone won.
Yeah.
Gosh, we did.
Fired it up.
We got Eliza Edwards from Channel 9. She dissected the budget in an easy fashion for us.
Yep. Qantas have had a great idea that I don't think is such a great idea.
And for the final time, we had the interim administrator from the Central Coast Council.
It was Teary.
It was.
Dick Person.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Roll out the carpet.
Yeah, yes.
I'm a little teary-eyed,
yes,
though.
Yes, we are. For a final time.
Standing on the wharf.
The Central Coast Council Administrator, Dick Person, joins us. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning. Did you say roll out the car park?
No, the carpet.
The carpet. The red carpet.
So she's all... When you finish, Dick, is it the end of Friday when you finish wrap-up?
No, it's today. I'll be driving home this afternoon after a small farewell at the council, and I'll be finished by about 5 o'clock today.
I'll try and hide your excitement.
Now, I want to say, I got a great idea listening to your previous segment about offenders getting another chance.
Yes.
And it's an interesting debate, and I think you handled it really well. But maybe we should have a situation when councillors are sacked or dismissed or suspended, they shouldn't be allowed to run in the next election. I'm going to take that up with the head of the Office of Local Government.
So you're
with me, Dick, on this.
So you believe, Dick, that with the election, it'll be probably next year for the Central Coast, that all previous councillors don't get
should
to
not be eligible to run.
I think that would be fantastic. I can't bring it about. It won't happen in time for that to happen, but I think it would be really good. And I think the members of the community would say, even those that say, oh, we voted this way or that way, they're part of it. And they, and if they knew that the suspension or the prohibition might come, maybe they'd work a little bit harder at getting collaborative decisions done.
But last
night I did put a change to the referendum that I am proposing for the next in September. There won't be an election here, but people will still have to go to the polls to vote on a referendum. Previously, I put up a question that we reduce the number of councillors from 15 down to 9, and there'd be no wards. One area, all the councillors are thinking of the Central Coast. I'm now concerned that people will want to hang on to the wards, and that means I might lose the chance to see the council numbers reduced. So I've changed, I rescinded my motion, which is the first time in 9 years of administration I've rescinded one of my own motions. And I've now changed it so the question will be, do you favour reducing the number of councillors from 15 to 9 in 3 wards.
Right.
In 3 wards, okay. Firstly, I reckon they should change the name ward to something else. Ward reminds me, makes me think of sick people.
Yeah, that'll go to the community in September this year. And if it's carried, for example, then when the election's held next year, that new rule will apply.
And each ward has 3 councillors. That's where we get our 9. Yeah.
Correct.
And so that is happening 4th of September, where we do that, the constitutional referendum?
That will be the case, yes.
Okay. And as you said, so you can't get it across the line where all former councillors can't renominate?
No. The minister would have to agree, first of all, and then have to change the act, and that sort of stuff takes a long time. But I just thought it was a really good idea. I mean, I don't think there's any penalty being paid by the councillors to the extent that I think is warranted. And I think the community would share that view too. The community's still angry.
Yeah, of course. For me, if I was a councillor and I'd just blown $580 million, it'd be blind stupidity to try and run again, because you'd think, who's going to vote for me if I was part of the reason of the problem?
Well, some people will just vote a party ticket, for example. That will still happen.
Yeah.
But, it would be sad. But, look, some people are now upset with some of the decisions that Mr. Hart and I had to make, and I understand that. But I just hope they don't forget who actually caused the problem, which has led to rate rises and selling off assets and some of the things that, and laying off staff, things that people don't like. We didn't like that either. And I just hope, as I say, people don't forget who caused the problem.
Dick, when do we know about the IPART decision? About the rate rises?
Later this month.
Right, okay. And over the time, because your time here was extended, what was the best part? Was there a best part of your job?
Oh, look, I previously said, talking to you guys in the car park in my pyjamas at the Gosford Motor Inn, that was by far the highlight. But in terms of, no, it hasn't been an easy job, fellas. It's other times I've gone into a council, I've had time, I've been able to do some what I think call good things. This occasion, it's been hard decisions after hard decisions, a fair bit of crisis. You know, just to remind people, But about 3 days before Christmas, we were waiting, literally waiting for approval from a bank to lend us $100 million. Had we not got that, we would not have been able to pay staff and creditors by the middle of January. So there's a bit of stress involved. We got that call, we got that loan, and we got that loan on the basis that, they were satisfied we were going to sell assets and reduce our debt, that we were going to increase revenue from a rate increase, and that we were going to cut our costs. Yep. All of those decisions had to be made. They weren't options, they were necessities.
That's right. A bank doesn't loan money because they feel sorry for you, and you had to make the decisions, and unfortunately it hurt a lot of people.
That's right. And as I say, I just hope people remember, as time passes, who actually caused the hurt, not the people who had to fix it up, but the people who caused the problem.
Dick, with your forecast, with what you put in place, how long do you think it will be once we can get out of all this mess?
If the IPART decision is made in favour of the rate increase, then we will be back in the black for the next 10 years. So we are out of the mess, although the problems that... The changes that we've had to put in place will still be coming through. I think many people will be surprised when some of them do come through. So we may not appear to be out of the mess for some time, and there'll be no money for new would-like-to-do projects. The situation after the IPART decision will just mean we've got enough to make a small profit each year, pay down $100 million of the debt over 10 years. I hope we'll get another $100 million from asset sales, and that will put us back into, I think, a pretty good position. But it's not going to be easy without further revenue increases over the time. There's no room for any more cost-cutting. I know some of your listeners might think, oh, that's not true. Councils are full of fat. Well, I can tell you they're not. And if there was any, it's gone now.
Well, Dick, thank you very much for everything you've done, willingly come along, had a chat. You've been the messenger the whole way along.
You've been very open with us and open with the Central Coast through our chats, and we've really appreciated you sparing the time, even when you were in your pyjamas
in the car park. That
was... Well, I just want to say thank you to you guys. I think your show's fantastic. I mean, some of the music you play before 8 o'clock should be banned. But apart from that, I really enjoyed coming on and a chance to speak to your listeners and explain the situation.
All right, Mel, finish this afternoon. All the best, mate. Thanks for being part of us. And here we go.
Wish me luck. Yes. As you wave me goodbye.
We've got tears now, Dick. Give me a hug, buddy. Dick Burson, thanks for joining us, mate. All the best, buddy.
Thank you.
I was at lunch.
Yes.
With the family the other day. And it was all going really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gwen always says to me, she says, I just can't do it with an idiot. So, you know, if you're not an idiot, you've got a much better chance.
This is Gwen, your wife.
This is Gwen, my wife. Sorry, yeah. So we're having lunch with the kids.
Yes.
And we shot each other. There was a look across the table.
You could tell.
And I just saw it. I instantly.
Oh.
Wait, hang on.
There we go.
I've done nothing stupid.
Yeah.
And it's today.
So you've done nothing stupid.
I've done nothing stupid.
Wow, that's surprising.
For 3 hours at least.
God.
Yep. And so there were the fireworks, and we thought, right, but there's the three kids with us. So we've gone home from lunch.
Disappointing.
Three kids in the car. Yeah. And we're just thinking, well, Gwen says, how about we drop the kids off three streets from home? I said, right, that's a great idea. But is three streets going to be enough? And she said, yes, three streets will be enough. I said, no, it won't. Three streets won't be enough. The kids will get home. I said, well, I'm dropping them at the park. So we had the kids and the dog. We dropped three kids, a 6-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 15-year-old down at the park and said, right, walk the dog home from here. And Gwen's gone, this is a bit far, don't you think? And I said, no, we'll need this time. She goes, I'd better not be getting a 2-minute noodle. I don't want, we've just had lunch. I don't want 2-minute noodles.
That's the thickness.
I was referring to the top.
So anyway, we dropped them at the park.
And the kids were filthy. They were dirty.
Oh, were they?
They had to walk home. We've driven off. I've done Mark 3 in the car. Off.
You would have been screaming.
Spun the wheels, two honks, and away we went. We got home. We got home, and then you're never quite sure how much time you've got.
No. Put the egg timer up there.
Run inside. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And then it was like doing a Better Homes and Gardens renovation where the owners are coming back and you don't know how much time you've got to finish the job. Anyway, we got through it.
Rob's talking about cooking a steak, by the way.
We got there. The kids got home in pretty good time.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I I went to my 15-year-old Griff. I said, mate, thanks for getting the kids home. Gee, it was important for mum and dad to spend a bit of time together. Oh, yeah, Dad, what'd you do? I just looked at him, sort of smiled and said, oh, we hung out. Oh, no. It was like someone had just weed on his Weet-Bix. He was disgusted.
You know, love is still in the air. But last night, Josh Frydenberg, our federal treasurer.
That wasn't horror.
It
was a circus.
He delivered. Oh, it was a money circus, I tell you what, last night. But we did say, when we listened to Josh, the Church of the Sacrificial Lamb with Gravy and Three Vegetables, where Father TJ McArdle comes from,
Yes. He
sounded a little bit like he's at the pulpit. Vlad, on the organ, give us a listen.
Ministerial.
Low and middle income earners will receive up to $1,080 for individuals or $2,160. For couples.
Yes.
More of their money in their pockets
Yes. To
Hallelujah. Spend across the economy creating jobs.
Hallelujah. Oh,
hallelujah.
The cash cannon, it was going mad last night. And to find out more, to dissect us for it, we have got Eliza Edwards, Nine political reporter. Good morning, Eliza.
Hello, Eliza.
Good morning, fellas.
Look, didn't that cash cannon go off last night?
Full of booty.
Yeah, you said it. It was a money circus last night. The government's certainly splashing cash like there's no tomorrow.
Did anyone miss out? I don't think they did they?
No, I couldn't find many losers in that budget. There was plenty of big ticket spends for older Australians in aged care, mental health as well, childcare, women's safety, apprenticeship. So, yeah, plenty of winners, not many losers inside.
Paddy will find something to whinge about soon enough. One of those being that maybe all these jobs that are going to be created may not be able to be filled.
Yeah, exactly, because our borders will be staying closed for at least another year. That's what the budget assumes will happen. So the sectors that rely on people coming in from overseas, like agriculture, universities relying on foreign students, and of course the tourism sector, they'll all continue feeling massive pain for another year.
I do like, you know, when you said about the new apprentices, because it was $2.7 billion for employers to take on 170,000 new apprentices and trainees. That is really good news, isn't it? That is great news.
Yeah, and look, there are some really good policies in that budget. That job trainer program has already been pretty successful in creating apprenticeships. And as well, we're seeing 40 new adult mental health treatment centres. For me, that's one of the most important things in this budget. Also, $5,000 payments for women fleeing domestic violence. So there's no doubt there are very good policies in this budget, but there's also the political reason that the government is spending so much money, and that's because there'll be an election in less than a year, and the coalition, of course, wants to put itself in a winning position.
Yeah, well, look, it's a very sort of Labor-sounding budget. Do you reckon the Labor government are filthy, not government, but the opposition are filthy because they've got nothing to complain about?
Yeah, I think they're more filthy because this is a government that railed against their debt and deficit disaster after the global financial crisis. And now the Liberal Party has had this complete philosophical shift. It's putting budget repair off to the never-never. It's locked in deficits for a decade and it's embracing debt nearing $1 trillion. So this cost of COVID-19 will need to be paid off for decades to come.
Yeah, that's a lot. A trillion. That's sort of like what we see in America.
Well,
multiply that.
Look, globally, our debt is far better than other countries are seeing right now.
Oh, we're in a good position, aren't we?
Sorry, what was that?
We are in a good position as a country.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the Treasurer made that point last night that Australia is in a very good position compared to other countries. But this isn't about luck. It's because Australia has really handled the pandemic very well. And part of that is keeping the borders shut, largely keeping that threat at bay.
And we're with Eliza Edwards, Nine's political reporter, dissecting last night's budget that was handed down by Josh Frydenberg. I do like also with the home ownership, because there's so many first home buyers here on the Central Coast. 10,000 more first home buyers will be able to build a property with a 5% deposit. That's good news for first home buyers too, Eliza.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And single parents will be able to buy a house with just a 2% deposit. So these measures to help with housing affordability, particularly for single mums who are really locked out of the housing market. But the issue here is that this will just continue driving up house prices. So they're not getting any cheaper, but people are getting help to get their foot into the market.
Paddy mentioned something to me earlier today. And effectively, if you're getting 2% deposit rather than 10%, you can take on a debt that's five times larger than you would otherwise be able to get. Is servicing these debts going to be a problem?
Yeah, and that's the problem for me. It's okay at the moment because interest rates are so low, but what happens when interest rates start to rise and then are people going to be left in more mortgage stress? So I think it's slightly short-sighted for me.
Yeah, and that's what I said to Rob Palmer, but he bagged me earlier on, Eliza, when I spoke to him about that.
Well, I backed you.
Oh, thank you. No,
you don't know him very well,
Can
Eliza.
You just say that again, Eliza? Well, the cash cannon, as we said, is firing off. There's going to be a lot of dissection today. Thank you for making it very easy with us, Eliza, to dissect it very, very easily. Eliza Edwards, Nine political reporter. You'll have a busy day, Eliza, won't you?
Yeah, that's right. I'm heading down to the front of Parliament now to bounce all these politicians.
Good luck. Nice good work. Luck. Thanks, Eliza.
Thanks, guys.
Bosses may soon be forced to ignore employees' criminal pasts. An overdue review of Queensland anti-discrimination legislation may lead to requirement that businesses ignore employees' criminal histories. Oh. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with
Is
that.
Is today the day to go and steal a car? Because next week I can get a job and no one will look at it?
It could mean a recommendation to the government to enshrine in the law that a person cannot turn down a prospective employee for a job, like, say, working at the supermarket, if the person has an irrelevant criminal record, like for public drunkenness, right?
It has to be irrelevant. So my shoplifting rap would stop me getting a job in the supermarket.
The thing is, mate, because everyone's not as bloody perfect as you, Robert. You know, holy suck up that you are. Yeah. But the thing is, if someone's done, you know, you look back when you're younger and you've done stupid things and you go, that could then affect the rest of your life for a silly mistake that you made when you're 17, 18, or 19.
That's what stops you.
Not all the time. You make silly mistakes. You get on the hooligan juice. You do silly things. I don't think that
Whoops,
should...
I robbed a bank.
No, I'm not talking about robbing a bank. I'm talking about silly things. I'm not talking about robbing a bank or going on a...
Okay, what about break and enter?
Oh, look at you.
What about you go and you rob some grandmother of all her life savings?
There's got to be a list.
Come on.
There's got to be a list.
This is ridiculous.
There's got to be a good and a bad list.
Whose rule is this? Is this a Queensland thing?
Well, they're looking at that. And I think...
Queensland. Only in Queensland.
If you've done a silly thing, if you've done a silly thing and you've been charged and all that sort of stuff, and then that's going to be held against you in the rest of your working life. I don't think it should happen. I think there should be some sort of statute of limitations.
You know what? It should be left in the discretion of the employer, and if they want to look at it, they can look at it.
Exactly right.
Yeah, but... If you're an employer and you look at, you should be able to look at the rap sheet and go, when you were 17,
you were stupid.
Yes.
Bloody idiot.
I don't know what.
But I'm going to give you a crack.
You were caught with drugs when you were 17.
I'm going to
you're an idiot,
that.
Right?
I'm going to overlook that because everyone's young and silly at some stage.
But now you're 28 and you look like you've had a good 10 years.
Would you give him a job?
Yeah, of course
Good
I
boy,
would.
That's what it's all about.
But are you saying there's going to be a legislation?
Well, it might be.
What a joke.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, please.
Like, if you're an employer, honestly, give someone a second chance, man. Sue Halakalani. Hello, Sue.
What do you think, Sue?
Yeah, look, I agree. I work in a drug and alcohol rehab and I work with many, many different people.
Yep.
You know, some crimes definitely need to be reconsidered for positions, but if you have an AVO taken out on you against an angry girlfriend or boyfriend who don't really understand the implications, you can never work with children. It's a done deal. You cannot work with children. You can't coach a sports team. You can't coach your kid's sports team.
Jeez, that sounds harsh.
It is extremely harsh. If you want to be a youth worker because you have decided to change your life around, you can't go for that job. It's illegal. They can't hire you because of AVO. So, I mean, there's obviously very horrendous crimes that people do not deserve a chance or a possibility to reoffend. But these AVOs that, you know, they were handed out like gold passes many years ago and people are still struggling because of that to even attend activities with their kids. I can speak from experience. I have an amazing husband who has a very interesting past And it took a lot of work for him to get a job. And now he's very high up in his field with mental health and disabilities. But some people don't get that chance. And he was lucky enough to get that chance through Father Chris Riley, who...
Yeah, I know Father Chris.
Youth off the streets in Sydney. Yeah. Can I ask, because if you've done something ridiculous, you've got on the drink, you've been a knob when you're much younger, if you then have a criminal record, that is held against you when you're applying for every job, isn't it?
Yes.
For the rest of your life.
It depends on the employer, doesn't it?
And, well, not necessarily, because if you apply for a job and it comes up on a criminal history, they will, as soon as that criminal history comes up, they'll put you to one side and they'll keep moving through the people that don't have
and that's,
it.
And see, that's what I'm saying. Give someone a second chance. Hey, Sue, it's been really, really nice to talk to you and educating my...
Oh, come on. Thanks for your angle, Sue. You know, I appreciate what you're saying.
My up myself friend. Sue, thank you so much. We've got Morris Goolagong.
Thanks, Sue. G'day,
Morris. G'day, Mocha. Hello, mate. How are you, buddy? Yeah, good, mate. What are your thoughts? Because about what they want to introduce in Queensland. Do you think giving someone a second go is a good idea?
Yeah, 100% it is, mate. I worked up at the Juvenile Correctional Centre for 17 years, mate, and that was part of our job, to get those kids out into the workforce before their release date. So, we had a lot of companies, industrial areas up around Carrieong and stuff like that, to give those kids a chance to get out into the workforce and to, get back their life.
Mocker, I agree with you. It's great to give someone a go.
Yeah, he's backpedaling now, Mocker. He's backpedaling. Okay, wind it back now, Palmer.
Listen to him. Honestly, he'll take any chance he gets to shoot the bow of my shit.
Yeah.
Now, I'm happy to give I believe in the goodness of humanity. I believe that people should be given a second chance. But I don't believe that that should be...
Legislated
that you're not allowed to look into someone's criminal past when you're employing them.
They do. Everyone has a
I agree with you, Rob. They do that, but they shouldn't do that. But these kids deserve a second chance. They've done the wrong thing. They've paid the time for it, and I think they deserve a second chance.
G'day, Joel from Yarramalong.
Hi, how's it going today?
Yeah, good, mate. Now, did you have a silly criminal charge laid against you?
Yeah, I was charged with a prohibited weapons charge for having an ornamental belt buckle that was shaped like knuckle dusters. So it was just a little belt buckle, but it was classed as a weapon to the courts when I went to court, and I was charged with carrying a prohibited weapon, and I'm now stuck with that for the rest of my life. I couldn't get a job at McDonald's. I couldn't get a job pretty much anywhere. I had to go and get a trade and then open my own company so that I could have a job.
Far out, so, mate.
Every employer looks back at it and says, doesn't matter that it was a belt buckle, it doesn't matter it was something stupid and non-related, you can't get a job.
It's still a charge.
Flipping burgers even.
Joel, that you are one of the unfortunate ones that slipped through the cracks of what is reasonable, and that you should not have been discriminated against. However,
that's what happens,
you had a charge, you were convicted of it, and that's just what you had to wear. But you know what I like about you, Joel, is you've just gone out and said, stuff this, I'm going to do it my way, and you got yourself a trade and started your own business. How's it going?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I'm just a little floor-laying business, but it does all right for me. It pays the bills and feeds me little boys. So
that's what it's
mate,
about,
what's
mate.
What's your business, Joel?
Coastal Commercial Flooring.
All right, mate.
Coastal Commercial Flooring. Get amongst it.
And, Joel, as we said earlier on, I think there should be something that companies look like in yours and give them a second chance.
Yeah, that's their rule book. It's not a legislation. Yeah,
but this is what we're saying. We're going, Joel couldn't even get a job flipping burgers because of that. It should be changed. There should be something. It's not that's not a major crime, mate. That is not a major crime.
It's not a major crime. But it was still on the record, and it cost Joel the opportunity.
That's exactly right, and it should be changed. Thank you, Joel.
No worries, boys. Have a good day.
It is time for...
This is the news that doesn't make the news. It should be in the news instead of the other news.
Yes, good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Patrick.
What you got for us today, buddy?
Well, the moon.
Ooh, what about it?
It's going to be close. Yes. It's going to be big on May 26th.
It's going to be the blood one.
Super blood moon.
It's not going to be pink. It's going to be super blood.
Super blood moon.
The other one wasn't pink.
It's like Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
and the Super Blood Moon song. But Qantas, and I think this is a little bit stupid, Qantas are doing a one-off flight because that when there was the pandemic was in its full, Qantas got up planes just to do little tours like around Ayers Rock, and it went off. People loved it.
Yeah.
I'd get on board just to do an up-close and personal
flurry
lap.
Of people.
Flurry.
People.
Flurry. And they're hoping for another flurry yes, to get up in the air in a Boeing 787 and check out the Blood Moon from a closer vantage point.
Mickey D would do this, who comes in after 9 because he loves the moon
but
and he loves planes.
Isn't that like hanging a tennis ball off the crossbar at one end of the field, Central Coast Stadium, going to the other end and saying, gee, there's a tennis ball.
You could do that.
And you look at it.
Why don't we do that?
Then walking to the 20-metre and saying, gee, it looks bigger now.
Yeah.
You're not that much closer when you go up 1,000 feet to the moon, which is three days in a spaceship away.
You reckon people are going to be ripped off.
You're going to get up and go, I might as well be standing in my backyard.
And then imagine if it's cloudy.
Oh.
Well, you'd go
above the clouds, wouldn't you? That's the only vantage.
Is that right that some of the seats were $500 and then there were $800 or $900 ones and then $1,500 for business class? As you said, do that, hang a tennis ball from the crossbar on Central Coast Stadium and paint it a colour, you know, paint it a super bloody colour.
How many miles in a kilometre?
I don't know.
How many kilometres in a mile?
Hang on. If you go 2.2
pounds to a pound.
If you're going 60 k's an hour, that's 36 miles.
So it's about 300,000 kilometres away.
100 k's is 60 miles.
240,000 miles, about 300,000 k's.
Oh, I'd have no idea,
Something like that.
Yeah.
So 300,000 kilometres away.
And you go.
And we'll be 12 k's closer.
You got to be sucking in.
Massive.
She ripped off.
You know what, Paddy?
I know.
For friends of Triple M and family to bulk up the numbers.
Yeah.
Download the Listener app.
We're talking LISTNR.
Yep. And if you favourite Breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer.
You are legends.
Well, yeah, that's very good of you. And you can listen anytime you like.